regardless of the outcome. Boost up positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh scrubs. Call me private label, I be leaving breadcrumbs.
Welcome to episode 71 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. A little bit exhausted. It's been a long couple of days. It's been a long couple of weeks, but it's all good. Yeah. It's a day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. All right, y'all. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrows.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, through the month of February, you get 20% off with promo code... Yeah, I better get this right. PimpCast20. So that's only through the month of February.
Which ends, I think, tomorrow, right?
No.
February 28th?
I don't even know what today is. I mean, I every day when you work for yourself, y'all, every single day is Monday and Friday. Yeah. Especially when you work 12 to 14 hour days every single day, which we do.
Some days just have more sunlight than others.
Yeah, so we're working all the time, regardless. So I really don't know half the time. What I just know that it's Monday. I don't necessarily know what the date is.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, I could tell you every weird historical date throughout all of history. I could tell you when Bruce Lee was born, for crying out loud, and I can't even remember my own birthday. All right, y'all. So also, you want to make sure you get that EMP shield if you don't have one yet. Just look around in the world, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You get $50 off with promo code PERMA. And don't forget Harvest Right freeze dryers. You can also find a link for those down in the description box. Of course, you're seeing this on YouTube, Brighteon, and also Rumble.
Right. Do they get a discount code with the... Is it a discount code with Harvest Right? I thought it was.
No, but if you're going to get one, you don't get a discount code. But if you do get one, it helps us out. Obviously, we get a commission from that.
Yeah.
So, look, just straight up. You know, you want to break bread, I won't fake dead.
Or even if it's not a full freeze dryer, if you're like buying any of the vacuum oil or the Mylar bags or anything like that, you can also use the link.
Which, you know, they do make some really awesome, awesome, awesome Mylar bags, man. It's not those little rinky dink numbers. They actually hold up, man. I really like theirs when it comes to putting stuff away.
Yeah.
Which we do all the time.
Right behind the camera.
Bam. Exactly. Yeah. Right behind over there in this studio. Okay. So check us out on a Fountain app where you can tip a pimp. And you know, you can listen to all your podcasts over there. I really love it because you can triple the speed. And then at the end of the day, you can also break down some sats.
You can pay your podcaster directly if you like the episode or anything like that.
Yeah, so nothing wrong with that. We're going to jump right into it, y'all. Tip of the day, okay? It's not as perilous as when we went up, you know, driving through West Virginia or anything like that, but it's kind of close. Son, what I'm going to suggest after this weekend is, believe it or not, try to maybe go into the den of what you might think are your enemies sometimes. Okay, so we were at a convention.
Even if they're funky, y'all.
Yeah, we'll cover that a little more of that later. But I was speaking at a conference, and believe it or not, it's right here in this town. And historically, when I've been there, we only actually paid to go, I think, 1 year. And then afterwards, I went over there to go see somebody one time. And it really wasn't really my cup of tea. I mean, we're talking about a lot of, you know, it's more of the social type stuff going on there. And when I say social, I'm talking like socialism type stuff. And a lot of the classes, although there are some that are really, really helpful, but there's also that giant component over there of... I don't know. What would you call
it? Like, they always have to try to sneak in wokeism or something, or virtue signal somehow. Like, can't a chicken just be a chicken? Like, can't you just explain, like, a chicken system without having to incorporate all these other perceived social aspects?
Well, I remember the first year I was completely taken aback. And I think we talked about it in one of the PimpCast episodes early on. And folks, for those, I mean, you're just now seeing us, if it's on YouTube or Brighteon or any of the other platforms, go back. You can check us out. You can hear the audio versions where we've covered a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I talked about it a little bit before in the past, and it had to do, at least with this place, when And I went, I had to go see this for myself. Farming While Black, I think, was the name of this. And it was not long after we got to North Carolina. And I'm literally seeing this woman, this black woman, have these people eat out of the palm of her hands, and she's talking about giving your land away. And I'm expecting somebody to walk up out of this classroom. It didn't happen. And I'm sitting in there like, am I seeing this? Is this happening? Am I actually? Because I'd never found myself in a group of people like this before.
Yeah.
And I mean, I couldn't believe it. So ever since that time, I really wasn't all that keen on going back. Well, I was invited to co-speak there. And I'll be completely honest. I was really wondering if this thing was going to be a big disaster, because I'd already made up in my mind, and I'd told him and Michelle as well, that if I'm going over here to speak, man, I'm not pulling any punches. I'm going to say what I normally say, and I don't care who gets offended. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to pretend that I'm a wookie, whatever the case is.
Don't put that on Chewbacca, Dad.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend that I'm one of those people, because I'm not. But at the same time, it was an eye-opener, because, as you know, you sat through the class the next day. Your mom was there both days helping to film and put that out there. If you watched the video that went up on all the platforms, for some reason it couldn't go up on Brighteon.
Yeah, Brighteon's server was offline. Past couple times I tried to upload that. So
yeah, probably getting... Yeah. Yeah, everybody's over there watching all of our other videos over there. And by the way, if you can't catch us, for some reason, if you don't catch us on YouTube, or they decide to just cut the feed, you can find us on Brighteon and Rumble. So that's where we're going to be. We might even want to look into that Odyssey and some of the others too, because the truth of it is, honestly, it's getting more and more oppressive, I think, on YouTube, and it's only going to get worse. But let me go ahead and finish this here as far as the tip. I went into what I thought was going to be dangerous ground. I didn't hold anything back. And what I found out, and this was shocking, and I think it was actually in the good news section that I had here, is that a number of people approached me after this thing was all said and done. And I'm going to cover that a little bit more later, but let's just jump right into farm news, son. Well, we got Coco moved. If you haven't seen it yet, Ben and Denise over at Renewed Homestead, they actually own Coco now. So he came initially from the deep south up here. He was a baby at the time.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
He was a cute little baby.
Yeah, he's still a cute little bull, though. I don't know what it is about those Dexters, at least him. He just had that cute little Dexter face. I mean, he always wanted to be scratched and everything. So Ben and Denise came and got him, and it went, like, I mean, in the rain. And that had me a little bit concerned, because I was like, I had no idea the old boy they were bringing. His name was Travis. Man, you talk about a master. He's got this giant dually.
Yeah.
Pulled that sucker in and out of this driveway with that long stock trailer on it. And I was like, dude, this guy's a real deal mountain man. He backed that thing down.
Yeah, he did.
Into the barn. Coco got loaded up. Everything was good, and went off without a hitch. And so here he is over at his new home, and apparently he is loving life.
That's good. Yeah, that's funny. Bless you.
Yeah, I guess you caught that on camera. Yeah,
you can't hide. They know what you did.
Yeah, I'm like, there's not even a cough. Like in radio, man, they'd have a cough button or whatever. I'm like, man, please don't sneeze. Please don't sneeze.
One of those shuts off your, like, what you're going to hear, and then one of them shuts off your microphone.
Well, there ain't no hiding it. They're sitting here watching us, too.
Well.
So, anyway, we got Coco out of here. So, now, folks, this is one of the big things, and I was really going to make a podcast episode out of this, and it's really about retooling your farm.
Yeah.
Now, with Coco here, we had a plan in mind. And initially, as things unfolded and as time unfolded, those plans changed. And I'll be straight and frank with you before, because we've already covered it in previous podcasts. We wanted to get away from the cow department and more into the sheep department for a couple of reasons. Number one, Katahdin sheep is my favorite. We can harvest them way more often. The gestation, for crying out loud, is only like 4 months. And you could be processing 6 months later, a young lamb if you wanted to. Work easier to manage in this very, very, very steep terrain. And I got to say, man, Coco galloping down these mountains, man, would often freak me out.
Yeah, because he'd get going down the hill. And then, I mean, there's a creek down at the bottom of the hill. So you don't know if he's going to break a leg or not see it or just slip or something. I don't know.
That was a constant concern. But honestly, from a preparedness standpoint, I'll be straight with you. He makes a lot of racket.
Yeah, he does, especially whenever those cows across the road make a racket.
Absolutely.
You can't even see the cows across the road because there's so many like trees and, you know, like mountains. You can still hear him, and he yells back at him, and you can hear him through the mountains, and yeah.
And it's reverberating all through that valley at the bottom of there. I mean, so anybody, let's say if the worst should happen, which, you know, we, like I said, permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, well, that preparedness sector, what if things go stupid? And now, all of a sudden, I got a bull giving away our position and what we have over here to every person that may be desperate. Well, you know, that's an issue. And so he was one of the ones we wanted to get out here. So what that means for us, and we're going to try to chronicle this really good, whether on Brighteon and YouTube and all the other visual platforms, is now we're going to retool certain parts of this farm. Because as we said before, here before too long, we're going to start working on an earth ship. And that was not going to be great having Coco around. That's another thing.
Right.
But also, with him gone, we're going to be doing some more earthworks, and that's, you know, we're going to walk you through all that, hopefully even lay out some of it tomorrow. So we're going to be doing earthworks. We're going to be moving these bees, mm-hmm. and I was never really crazy about the bee platform that we currently have them on.
Yeah, it needs to be higher off the ground, if nothing else, so we can weed eat underneath, just in case it gets out of hand randomly. We can weed eat underneath without tearing up the boxes.
And most importantly, the chickens can get all the way under instead of having to peck all the way around it. The chickens can actually go underneath that thing. And then plus also, you know, certain varmints and stuff have been known to try to, if it's too low to the ground, they'll just climb up in there and kind of help themselves and do whatever. So that was something I learned also from Ben at Renewed Homestead. So we're going to copy their design, and hopefully I get some video of it tomorrow when we go over to go look at Coco and say hi and all. So when we get over there, I'm going to try to get some video of that and explain how that, I'm going to replicate what he's done over there because it's just good design. So with Coco gone, we're going to tear down that barn, take that material, make some elevated bee platforms, tear the rest of that thing down, get some earthworks done, and probably a fair amount of those, you know, get those earthworks done. And good night, y'all. It's off to the races on so many different things, but it all hinged around getting Coco moved. So don't think, when you have mobile systems like sheep, chickens, cows, and all these things, it's not that difficult to retool your farm.
In a permaculture setting, like if you're coming from a commercial type setting and retooling your farm, it might take you a little bit longer, especially if you're transitioning into permaculture. Like the designer manual, I think it shows either a 5-year, I think it's a 5-year plan, like a 5-year transition period, because it's going to take a little bit longer to do so.
Yeah, but with us, we can do it on a dime.
Yeah,
because we were already there.
A bunch of mobile structures that and like infrastructure that can be put up and taken down quickly.
Right, and then other things like I want to get done is we're still dealing with dead trees, and falling debris. I want to get all that stuff in one place so we can start working on that silvopasture area. I mean, we're not going to do any more cutting. I think this year we'll have to wait until next fall. But for what we have, we opened up enough sunlight in those trees to be able to start kicking off some silvopasture so we can get these sheep up in these trees that William has cleared, but we got so much deadfall on the ground, so now we can get hot on that.
We need to plant some comfrey over there.
Yes, absolutely. And also, I want to see about getting that multi-floor rose out of there, y'all. That stuff is a nightmare. It's been there ever since we got here.
Yeah, it went away for a little bit, and then we overgrazed with Coco, and then it came back. So I need to reprofile the edge on that scythe. And then we can go chop it down.
Yeah, we're going to chop all that stuff down. And then that's the cool thing about having these methods, y'all. And everything we teach is that even if you're in a position where, let's say you overgraze, well, it's easy to correct when you take the right dog to the hunt. So now that he's out of here, we're going to be exclusively a sheep, pig, and chicken operation until this earth ship is built. And then we're going to see what we want to do exactly here because it's going to be a combination. We need to have this place a combination of a... Well, I mean, really, a demonstration site along with a real-life functioning farm. And the only thing, and I think, honestly, son, the thing that will make this thing absolutely complete, because you have an example of silvopasture, you know what a swale is going to look like around here. You're going to know what food forest, orchards, all those things.
Old growth, well, almost old growth forest.
Right, to a certain extent, yeah.
Zone 5 forest, at least.
Right, so where anybody that comes here, no matter what aspect of permaculture you're wanting to look at, you're going to have an boots-on-the-ground example of what that looks like. And the only thing we're missing, and it seems like the thing most permaculture designers are missing, is a consummate permaculture structure.
Right.
Nobody ever looks at an earthship that way for some crazy and strange reason, or I can't say nobody, but very few. We're going to incorporate that into the landscape, and everybody, man, I'll tell you what, it burns me up every time I hear somebody saying, well, that's too much work.
Dad, we're so far off topic. We got to get into the next.
Well, no, that's not off topic.
That's supposed to be farm news.
Well, that is farm news. I'm saying
just explain the whole schedule of videos we got going out.
Well, it's not so far off the point. The point being is that with Coco, everything hinged on him.
Right.
We couldn't we couldn't make the next move on, like, we're putting the bees almost where he was. So the bees got to get out of the way to be able to get the site where we need it. And then in order to do the swale that we're talking about, it was right. I mean, everything was right there, and it all hinged on him. So now that he's gone, we can actually move on. Well, your mom is full tilt boogie on the planting around here. And also, she's studying nonstop. And folks, I'm telling you, when she finally gets to the end of that course, it's going to be a blessing for everybody out there.
Yeah. Yeah, mom's excited about what she's going to be able to do here pretty soon.
Yeah.
And her microscope came in. Was it today or yesterday?
Today.
Yeah, today. She's excited about that. She was acting like a little kid with that microscope.
So that's really good. She's going to be kicking that off. We don't want to say much more than that, son.
Yeah.
But this next weekend coming up, if you haven't already, we're going to start talking about it too. Ben Holler is going to be doing a butchery, and it's going to be at the farm where you live. Check out Farm Where You Live, folks. And I don't know if they have any more seats. I know it was sold out, but if you reach out to them, they might be able to squeeze you in. And also, not long after that, Jason from Sow the Land is going to be teaming up with us again. And we're going to be down there at Sow the Land, and we're going to give you details on that coming up very soon. I didn't want to give it out too early because I don't want to take anything away from what's going on with Farm Where You Live.
Yeah.
So maybe next podcast, we'll go ahead and give you the information on that. And so that's going to be a butchery class. I think William's going to be there as well.
I'm going to try to, yeah.
Me and Jason for sure. And Sow the Land group down there, Jason and Lorraine and myself, we're going to be down there getting his pig squared away, and it's going to be cool.
You're going to be adding to that online pig processing class too, won't you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you pointed that out, because what we're going to do down there is that if you don't already know about it, we have an online pig processing class. It's the best you can do without actually being there.
Yeah.
Even if you're there, if you only done it once, it's really good to have you could follow along. Jason did a PDF on that thing.
Yeah.
That'll knock your socks off, man. It's step by step. Yes. That thing alone in color is worth everything.
And also this weekend, you're going to be testing out. So everybody keeps asking us about, like, what knives to use and all that stuff. So Dad's going to be testing out some new knives, and if they work out, we'll end up selling them, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be taking them for a test drive when I'm out there helping Ben Holler. I'm not sure to what extent Ben's going to want me to help, but whatever he needs, I mean, if I get the opportunity, I'm definitely going to use these knives out there, because I got to take them for a test drive and see, and there's no better way to do that than actually doing it on a real-life pig. So we're never going to sell you anything that's jacked up or things that we wouldn't use. So that's what we're going to – before we tell y'all, hey, here are the knives you need to get, I want to absolutely – because I know at the end of the day, not everybody's going to be able to afford a highfalutin certainly not a Japanese set,
right,
which is going to be the best, or, you know – but we've got a German substitute that might be pretty darn good.
Well, it's not necessarily a substitute. So you got to, like, look at knife steel in a couple different ways. Like, you can get a super steel that just doesn't go dull for like 600 strokes and stuff like that. Like, you can scrape bone with it and it just doesn't go dull. But you also need like diamond emulsion plates to sharpen them. And you need to know, like, you need to be very good at sharpening some super steels. So that's not necessarily the route to go. You want something that's going to have a high edge retention. It's corrosion resistant, and it's easy to sharpen. So it's a good steel. It's a like a German, I can't remember what it is exactly, but it is a stainless German high carbon steel, which they can do now. They can do high carbon stainless steels now.
Well, here you go, y'all. Before we get into Pastor Lon here, I just want to remind you that, hey, I know everybody and a great grandmother as of late seems to be hitting me up about butchery classes and where you can go to do that. Like I said, this weekend coming up, farm where you live, Ben Holler's going to be the instructor. I'll be helping out wherever he needs me. But not long after that, in the end of April, I'm going to give you all those details in the next podcast and probably every YouTube video from here on out for anybody that's interested. And it's going to be a limited class. We're not going to have room for everybody, but I'm telling you what, for the money, you are not going to believe what you get. So with that said, let's move it on over to homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I don't have a scripture that I'm going to share with you today, but I do have a thought that I want to share with you that I feel like the Lord has laid this upon my heart for me to share it on here for somebody to hear. You see, we're all put on this earth for a reason. We all have purpose, and we all have destiny. And every one of us has a testimony because of the life we've lived, the choices we've made, the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. And if you got a testimony, then you got a story to tell. And you've allowed the enemy to suppress your voice and discourage you from sharing your story. And I feel like the reason the enemy is suppressing you is because he knows there's somebody out there that needs to hear your story. So I want to encourage you today, please be bold enough to stand up and share your story. Even though you don't think it's important, it is. Because there's somebody on the other end of your voice that needs to hear your story. And your story may be the very key that unlocks the chains that has that person bound in their troubles.
Well, amen to that. And wow, man, every single time we play Pastor Lon on here, I'm blessed for it because, you know, for the longest time, we did that podcast, I don't remember what episode it was, where I kind of gave you a little background on my story.
Yeah, it's called The Permaculture Pimp Daddy.
Okay, that's the episode. I don't know what number it is, but anyway, I was never, even when I did that presentation this last weekend, I was reluctant really to say much, you know, just hit the cursory things. So Pastor Lon, as always, has given me a great deal to think about. All right, y'all, we're going to get into the bad news, good news section. For every one bad news, we give you two good news. And it's not always from, you know, the headlines that are out there.
Right.
So bad news right off the bat, and I should have covered this before because I'm a big fan of the man. Dr. Michael Heiser died. He wrote the book The Unseen Realm and also had a and you can still check out the podcast. It's called the Naked Bible Podcast. I'm pointing this out. Number one was he was an extraordinary scholar, a very humble man, and his podcast was fantastic in so many different ways. Now, by no means am I saying go worship this guy because that's not what I'm saying. He wrote some extraordinary things that made a lot of people in the evangelical realm rethink certain parts of the Bible that they were never taught before. And meaning, let's say we'll start with Genesis 6, going right back to when Joel Thomas was on here a while back.
Yep.
This is some of the stuff that he exposed, and he did it in the most unbelievable way, explaining how if more people, in a nutshell, more kids would find the Bible interesting if they realized that it was more exciting than an episode of Middle Earth or Tolkien or
right.
anything like that.
Yeah.
When you realize, when you're looking at this thing in the perspective that he provided, folks, go check out the Naked Bible Podcast. I mean, because all the episodes, as I understand it, or at least the ones I've always listened to, were always timeless. So yeah, he died of pancreatic cancer and good night, man. He was an extraordinary dude, extraordinary scholar. And it's like so many of those people are gone now. You got David Flynn, who did some extraordinary work. And then you also, Russ Dizdar just died not long ago. And you talked
about a year ago, yeah.
Yeah. Russ Dizdar, he was one of those guys. Also had a podcast, too. It was called Something in the Darkness, like Shatter the Darkness. I think that's what the name of it was. And he did a lot to help so many different people. Anyway, Michael Heiser, he will be missed. All right, let's get on to the good news. And this is also kind of hitting on to the other thing, the homesteading tsunami, son. That's part of the good news. I don't have an article here, and I purposely didn't do that. The homesteading tsunami that Joel Salatin keeps talking about, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in massive ways. When I'm doing interviews like today on, Man in America podcast, these are, and then I'm sure there's a number of others that almost certainly want to do this sort of thing. This thing is getting so real that everybody and their great-grandmother is starting to say, this doesn't seem sustainable.
Yep. They 3 years ago, they lived, Man in America, Seth and his wife, they lived in a high-rise in Manhattan.
And look at them now. They're off and running.
Farmers.
Doing extraordinary things. I mean, and that's just one example.
Yeah.
I mean, they're an example of somebody who is wicked busy. I mean, they are up to their eyeballs and all the things they have to do, and then raising a baby at the same time, and still have managed to put in some pretty impressive systems, and are only improving them with every single free moment they have. So this homesteading tsunami, the reason why I'm saying this is really good news, there's actually both of these things kind of go on top of one another, is now butchery classes that we couldn't even think about getting people to go to just 10 years ago. You know, how many people did I hear, I'd love to do a butchery class, and then you have one, and then they don't show up. Now they're beating down the doors because all of a sudden people are asking really critical questions about where their food comes from.
Well, before it was a photo op, and now it's like, all right, I need to know this information.
Right, you're absolutely right. They would show up to do, you know, take their little selfie there to put it on Facebook or whatever social media, and now people are showing up seriously wanting to know how to do this. So that is that's a good thing. I mean, I hate the fact that it takes all of this, but hey, everybody has a different wake-up point, so I'm thankful for that. So that is good news. The other good news, son, and it happened right there, and I almost got into it a little bit early, was I made some off-color jokes intentionally at that thing, and nobody wanted to tar and feather me. Now,
hold on. Nobody vocalized it because then they would be called racist for speaking out against you.
Yeah, well, there may have been that, but then I was looking at the audience when I did some of this stuff because I intentionally, at this festival, I'm like, okay, is this something I would say in the company of the people we just butchered that pig like over at Sean's house?
Yeah.
So I asked myself, is this a joke or anything I would say in the company of those people? And the answer was a resounding yes. So I'm like, I'm not going to censor myself here just because these people may not like it. So fortunately, here's what blew my mind, is that afterward, there were a number of people that came up. One guy, oh my goodness, man, he was really cool. He was living in Colorado for a while. He's here. And even he was almost kind of like speaking in hush. He's like, man, I knew you guys were in my tribe. I knew it. I knew you guys were in my tribe. He's telling your mom, and then he comes up and finds me. And he's like, dude, I just couldn't believe you were saying the things you were saying in there. I'm like, well, what did I say that struck you? He says, you know, that joke you made about Bill Clinton.
Hold on. You guys need context. Dad is in the middle of giving information. And while giving this information, I don't think he realized it at the time, but he said, as feral as Bill Clinton on Epstein Island. And he continues with the information. It's like information, joke, information with no gap in between. And it took everybody like a second to even realize what he just said. And then everybody's laughing on a 5 second delay.
And I'm wondering what they're laughing about. What happened? I'm like, what? I turn my back for a minute and I'm like, what happened? And then I realized it just caught on to that joke. Well, in a crowd like this, ordinarily they would not even give themselves license to laugh at something like this. So the point being is that, man, I've been awful critical about, I think deservedly so, to a lot of these people on the left, and I'm going to continue to be critical when it applies, because frankly, they don't have any issues, you know, trying to run me and people like us down for our beliefs. You know, I can't sit here and shout from the rooftops, you know, how I feel about Jesus. They want to sit here and suppress that, but they can sit here and sell, and I was going to absolutely do an episode on this. You got a problem with me talking about my faith, my belief, but you're completely okay with people selling Wiccan and satanic books right there at the bookstore at this place.
As soon as you, like in the causeway of the bookstore, not even like in the bookstore where you have to search it out and find it, it's like right there.
I'm like, okay, I see stuff like this. Well, I'm going to counteract it. All right, y'all, we're going to go on to break. And when we come back, we're going to get straight into it.
Sun Tzu. They don't want the individual, just a carbon copy. You spitting that man, the Kadi, I'm talking.
Oh, yeah. So here we are, y'all. We're going to get down to brass tacks. So get down on it. Yeah. Unnecessary complexity.
Yeah.
That's really, man, I can't believe we hit. I think we've covered pieces of it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, y'all. This is a big one here. It's a really big topic, and we're in the permaculture, you know, permaculture, preparedness, practical living. Well, we're going to talk about that one part of it that seems to plague a certain species of thinker out there. A
certain species.
Dang. No, I mean, well, no.
Like they ain't even the same species.
No. I mean, a species of thinker out there. You know, we got different hierarchies and echelons within the permaculture space. But I'm saying if you're in this space to some extent or another, you're almost certainly a thinker to some degree. But there are these people that for some reason are attracted to unnecessary complexity. Now, as an electrician, I hated working with these people, and I certainly hated working for them. And folks, if you know anything about me, I have been known to literally quit a job because you want me to do something stupid. Not necessarily dangerous. I've worked in a lot of different places. You ask me to do something dangerous, I'm quitting. And if you have me do something that's too stupid too often, I don't care what you're paying me, I'm just going to drag up on you and tell you, hey, get my money, I'm out. And in truth, I do the same exact thing when it comes to permaculture design, which is part of the reason why, man, unless these people are thoroughly vetted, I don't want anything to do with designing other people's properties. Now, he's able to deal with that a little bit more.
I've kind of reached my breaking point.
With a lot of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of get it. I really want to help people who really are motivated to do this and get it done.
But you got to demonstrate something, man.
Yeah. And also, like, you got to demonstrate at least you, like, are wanting to do this and you're not wanting me to talk you through every single aspect of homesteading.
Exactly. If I got to hold your hand the entire way, that's good, because I don't have time to do that. And then, frankly, it's one of the things I really dislike with working with other people. If you have to constantly be coddled, if every single thing, like if I give a person, this is one of my biggest frustrations. If I line you out on a task and I give you I'm telling you, hey, it's okay if you make mistakes. Just don't pester me every 5 minutes because I need my brain to do the next task that I got to do. And then every 5 minutes, did I do this right? I said, look, dude, what did I tell you? Make the mistake. You're not going to. And this is a lot of things I would catch with butchery. I'm telling you, I tell them when I teach butchery, there is no mistake you make that I can't fix, okay? Now, granted, I don't want you in there turning the pork chops in the ground, but
at the end of the day,
there are so many people that, getting back to the central point here, this unnecessary complexity, there are so many people that will, I don't know how the brains are wired necessarily that makes them want to do this. For example, well, I'm sure you got a lot of examples,
yeah, I think
too.
We might be citing the same example, but go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and start that one. But before I do that, hey, if anybody does need consultations out there, go check out Eric Sider.
Yep.
He doesn't mind.
And do what he says. But also, like, just because you get a consultation doesn't mean you have to stop your education. Like, your consultant is not your source of education. He gives you a design or an order of operations or something like that, and you follow that. But you still have to continue your own education.
Right. It is. Yeah. It doesn't matter, but for some reason, there are so many folks out there that seem to want to make a process way more complex than it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, we've talked about it so many times. It's probably those of you that have been with us from the very beginning, you already know where we're going to go with this. There was a doctor we knew, and this dude, y'all, I have never seen, I don't know how he walked out of the door without bumping his head.
Yeah,
because he would intentionally, if there was like, here's step one, here's step two, and let's move on to step three. He would go to step one, get into step two, become bored, and then jump to a whole nother project.
Find a letter somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And go to that.
I'm going to go to Q. And I'm like, hang on, bro, you just missed 5-10 steps in between A or 1 and 20. You've missed all these different steps. And there would be, like, for example, to move pigs, Look, man, the last thing you ever want to do is be chasing pigs all over the place.
Have we ever, though?
We haven't.
Yeah, that's but what I'm thinking. Would've. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he had come up because he had these, instead of being a responsible, and Jeff Lawton talked about this once in an interview, where there are so many people that instead of just doing the very basics of what are required, they tend to want to jump these steps because they want to become famous.
Mm-hmm.
They want a YouTube channel. They want this notoriety. And so they do very, very foolish things in terms of design that make life 10 times harder for them.
As if being able to sheet mulch over asphalt and turn it into a garden isn't cool enough. You have to come up with some complex. I think part of it is like they think they are expressing their permaculture knowledge by coming up with these insane, overly complex systems when permaculture is insanely simple.
Yes.
Like the more you look at it, the more you realize it is like you go through this like wave where you find out about permaculture and you think you have all these separate systems, and then you realize how these systems interact with each other, and then you start going overboard with like the interactions between systems and stuff, and then you get to a point where you realize, oh, this is simple and I overcomplicated everything, let me tone it back down.
There, I couldn't agree more. There's this other example where a lot of times you see too many people putting the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying too far to move too many steps ahead. But I'm going right back to what Jeff said in that interview, is that you see it over and over and over again where somebody is just wanting notoriety or recognition, and you're going to decide. Okay, Joel Salatin even talked about it, for crying out loud,
yep.
Where they're going to and he's talked about this so many different times when I was in the room, where one of the biggest problems is you got a person wanting to come up with the next chicken tractor. The Salatin style. Let's say you're going to do Cornish crosses or whatever the case may be. And I mean, if you hear him tell or talk about all the different variations in which people have gone about doing this, and then they decide when the plans are easy to do, they're easy to make.
Yeah, it's a box with no bottom.
Right. But he made it just heavy enough. He made it heavy enough to where it doesn't fly away. And it's light enough to, you know, where it can be moved.
Right.
So he found that happy spot. Now, when we built one, we brought in a carpenter. He was my brother. He's a journeyman carpenter. And he found ways to shave off, I forget how much weight off this thing,
right.
But it was still working. It worked better than Joel's ever did.
Well,
but he is a journeyman carpenter too.
The issue, though, is that we still had to stake it.
Yeah.
And it went under catastrophic attacks from dogs.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, feral dogs. But then that goes to another thing. As far as the unnecessary complexity, we ended up taking meat birds and putting them in zone 5, which is about the dumbest thing you can do. We were protesting up one side, down the other, where we had our meat birds in zone 5 because this doctor, who seemed to think that he knew, he was like the sun rose and set because he was a doctor. And, you know, MD does not mean medical deity, once again. So here we are. We got our meat birds out in zone 5, feral dogs, and to this day, I don't know how they got in there.
Those feral dogs took their time to get in there.
Man, they got inside there. There were 75 birds in there, and they killed all but 3.
You know, more that I think about, how did they not hear that happening?
Who?
The doctor and his wife. Yeah.
Well, because they always stayed in the house when it was hot.
Maybe.
And of course, it was a terrain feature away, so they wouldn't have necessarily heard it. But those dogs, by the time we showed up, so here we are, we got 2 feral dogs that are stuck now inside this chicken tractor. There was no way to protect it. I mean, and how to this day, how they got in there, I do not know.
They shredded those chickens.
Right. And so the awful part of it was dealing with the carnage afterwards for a task that should have never happened, because he felt like he had to sit here and add this unnecessary complexity. And then the same thing happened with his layers, which were also in zone 5.
Yep.
And then, okay.
Same thing with the garden, which was in like zone 3.
Well, that was probably zone 4, really.
It was zone 3. It was right next to a roadway.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was touch and go, but it was ridiculously far away from where it should have been. So it was taking constant damage, but he had to sit here and try to reinvent the wheel. I don't care what the project was.
Well,
in
those garden beds, another example of over complexity is instead of just building raised beds filled with soil, Instead, what we did was dug down, buried like rotten, not even rotten wood.
No, it wasn't even rotten, yeah.
Rotten, yeah, and then filled it up and then put compost on top and then put the box, or put the box on top and then put the compost in the box. That's what we did instead of, so we didn't even like, so it robbed nitrogen. It's probably robbing nitrogen still.
To this day.
To this day, that thing is probably not a Hugel bed yet and right. It's still robbing nitrogen.
Well, and that was another thing where he got that, that compost that came from one of those waste facilities.
From the doggone sewage plant.
Yeah, he got the compost. Well, here was the part that blew my mind. He threw dog food in there and...
Okay, yeah, what and was then, that about? Yeah, I still don't know what that was about.
Because, okay, he put nitrogen, which is what the dog food was, in there and then mixed it all up and claimed, now we got compost that's on fire. I mean, this yeah, it was on fire, all right.
Yeah.
Because nothing would grow in it because that compost was absolutely lousy. Your mom tested it, had zero nitrogen in it.
Well, hold on. If you make really, really good compost, you shouldn't sprinkle seven dust all over it.
Yeah. How about
and,
that?
And kill the microbes you just worked so hard to help facilitate.
But it all come down to, I mean, just foolish pride, but also this desire to make himself famous.
Yep.
Because, and he was doing it on the backs of some of the ideas that we were, so this was a partnership that was doomed when you have ego and arrogance and things like that, but also it came right back to unnecessary complexity. When it came to his house, okay, dig this, those tubes. You know where I'm going with man. This.
Yeah.
Okay, so check this out. Now, William has actually been to the Earthship Academy. I actually helped build one just recently.
And the internship.
Yes, so yeah. You did them both. And this doctor decides that this is a regular, what would you call that? Like
it's like a metal building like a metal with an building. Apartment, heavily insulated apartment on the inside of it.
Right. So it was a metal building that he was going to live in. And then the other side was something of a drive-through garage. Ill-conceived all the way from one side to the other. It was a complete mess. And then he decides he's going to have, after the forms are put up and they're ready to pour concrete the whole nine yards, he decides last minute, for this unnecessary complexity, to put cooling tubes through the bottom of this house.
12-inch okay? cooling tubes.
12-inch, which are enormous. Now, dig this.
Which are on the corners yes. as well.
Yes, exactly. These cooling tubes that go down 90-degree angle and then just dead end under the ground. And I'm like, okay, where are they coming up at? And then the problem is, if you do a lot of underground work, as I have as an electrician, I am trying to tell them, dude, them pipes are going to fill with water. I'm telling you right now. No, they won't. Yes, they will. And they did. And he ended up having to cover them up. So because he was going to redefine how air conditioning is done in Texas with an ill-conceived idea, and even the plumbers out there, they were like, good night,
man. Yeah.
What are we dealing with, man? Somebody keep this guy off the internet. We're using one example, but look, this applies in so many different ways where you have this, I keep seeing it over and over and over again, where I see people adding this unnecessary complexity because they think it's going to make it work better. No, what you want overall is a system that is elegant,
right?
Which means concise and simple. That is what you want. Adding 10 more, one of my best friends out there, they would decorate their houses. I remember when, you know, in Oklahoma, you'd had enough direct decorations. You're saying, okay, it looks good. And then it got to the point where it became gaudy. And then it looked like a flea market. He's thinking the more he added to it, you know who he is.
Yeah,
the more he would add to it just made it better. And it was like, it was the gaudiest thing you've ever seen in your life. But that's what so many of us try to do within these systems, where we take something that is sublime and simple and then feel like with our human understanding, we have to intervene and add more things like within your guild.
Yeah. Like the first time you're doing guilds, just keep it simple and replicate the same pattern over and over again. I mean, to an extent, just keep it simple. And then once you get that down, then you can kind of expand into other varieties and stuff like that. Or your gardens. Like, don't start off with a mandala garden if you haven't done a garden in a straight line at first. And right. Then you might decide you might not even want to go to a mandala garden.
Well, and then you may realize, okay, the mandala is a good, it's a interesting design. But I remember having discussions with Eric Sider about you know, if you want to do any real crop production, man, it's really not the best thing in the world. And frankly, I've never been a big fan. Just the first time I'd ever seen them on Dollar Garden, I'm like, okay, this seems good if you had, you know, certain designs, but I just was never, I didn't think it was as efficient use of space as what the person who was a big champion for them thought they were.
It would be good. I see their use in like small kitchen gardens. Like if you're trying to be do like an efficient use of space, have your companion, like your pioneer species in close relationship with your productive species. And if you design it right, you can do it pretty, it's an efficient form for small places for like a kitchen garden.
But the guy who put them in all the time had an addiction to unnecessary complexity.
Right. So, yeah.
And this was somebody else altogether.
Right.
And then even came up with other garden designs that were equally as unnecessarily complex.
Right.
And, you know, when you look at the inspiration of where he got them from, it was such a wide departure. He thought that he was going to do a, I don't want to call the guy out, but I mean, the point of it is, instead of following the recipe, like you just said a moment ago, and going through A, B, C, and D, what made sense, he wanted to get, I suspect, notoriety out of this thing and came up with these garden designs that turned out to be complete disasters.
Yeah.
And had he not been tied up in his own arrogance to a certain extent, he might have said, huh, this ain't going to work. Now, I went back and I spoke to the, I knew these people that there was a project done at their place and they were very unhappy with it. Because it was unnecessary, I was like, oh, dude, the chickens are going to absolutely destroy this.
Destroy everything. Like, your easiest chicken to garden relationship could probably be having a stationary garden downhill, directly downhill from your chicken coop that's also stationary. That is the simplest interaction you could have. It's elegant. The fertilization is mostly passive unless you wanted to bring compost from there to your garden, which is all downhill. The food for the garden is directly by your chicken coop. And every time it rains, I think I just said this, but every time it rains, it's going to wash that fertility down into your garden.
Right. And if it's on contour, all the better.
Yeah. But if your chicken coop is directly above your garden as well.
Right. And that's straight out of the manual, the permaculture design manual. Yeah. I mean, it's right there, but all of a sudden you're seeing these things that are misplaced. Folks, I guess to really make this whole thing come together is, the most important thing that is so hard to convey within permaculture is trying, for some of us, it just naturally works that way. But the big thing is trying to find relationships between one thing and another. And then once you practice on it, you do these mental gymnastics to try to say, okay, does this work? Does this work? Does this relationship work together? It's not hard. It's not difficult. Better still, follow the doggone recipe if you don't know. Like, for example, let me give you a prime example real quick about Stefan Sepkoviak. He has got a fantastic guild design. Like, yep. And it's changed a couple of times, but I'm just going to say it right off the bat the way I remember it. Is that, okay, so you got your tree, which is the star of the show. That's the lead singer, okay? And then all the other bandmates around each tree were really, really simple. There'd be comfrey, there'd be thyme, oregano, rosemary. And then he would put in opposite corners. To a certain extent, we replicate a lot of what he's talking about there.
Yeah.
So there may be 3 shrubs, 10 herbs around every single tree. But then you'll have somebody that comes in and says, okay, they're not realizing that this man has put decades of experience behind what he came up with. And then all of a sudden, they're going to put something in there just because they want to be different, because they have to add this complexity that for some reason just doesn't even make sense.
A permaculture farm should get simpler and simpler the longer it's in existence. I think Jeff Lawton, the only time he's had like complex, very, very complex systems that was like kind of hard to understand were water systems when he had to like follow code there in Australia. That's the only thing that comes into mind whenever I think of Jeff Lawton and complex systems. That's really it.
They should always, I mean, within all of these systems, if it requires... Okay, I'll in a nutshell, here's how it goes. If you can get from A to B with a couple of steps, that's efficient. But it takes you more than a couple of steps, and you added a couple of steps in there that don't make sense, or just because you're trying to make that distinction between you and the next person. Look, you're already doing something that is highly innovative in and of itself.
Yeah.
There's no need. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to innovate, because we should always be looking for that. after you master the basics. You don't learn to slam a basketball before you learn to dribble.
Right.
So it's exactly the same thing in permaculture. About Elon buying Twitter like he gonna save us, huh? Left and right squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster before I hit the beach. BLM on my koozie. All right, back for the Q&A section.
Yeah, you want to start it off with the voicemail?
Drop it.
And remember, y'all, the number is 828-380-4419. 828-380-4419.
What's up, Mr. Billy and Little Willie? I just want to say how, like, Mr. Billy was 100% right about the being an autodidact. You can use that Bruce Lee philosophy, take in all info, apply what's useful, and just discard what's useless. I just got two things I wanted to share. Thomas Jefferson's 1782 notes on the state of Virginia. He's quoted as saying, "Was the government to prescribe to us our medicine and diet, our bodies would be in such keeping as our souls are now." And then the good book in Hosea, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest." Stay pimping.
But let's talk about this Little Willie name.
Nah, man, I got to give it to him. I missed part of what he was trying to say there, and it's kind of written out here.
Which part are you talking about?
Apparently, my man read the Tao of Jeet Kune Do. I mean, that was some Bruce Lee stuff straight up there. Some great thoughts, no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. But if you guys call in, we'll play it on the show.
Yeah, that's how we roll. So we got one from Adam here, and I'm going to try and not stumble through some of these the way I have. So, y'all, I'm just going to kind of stick to the highlights, because a lot of times we're going way over time, and I probably shouldn't be reading everything, especially when it's rather lengthy. So if you would, folks, when you write in, let's try to be as elegant as possible, because there's a lot to get through here. So anyway, in a nutshell, Adam sends this link. He wanted to link it in the good news section. I wish I had seen this before I started the show. But basically, Tennessee is good night, man. Tennessee is starting to seem like the only state left where people are standing up and fighting for things. So he left a link here where it's pretty much the only one that's trying to keep kids from being, from teachers telling these kids, oh, go be a trans, go be a tranny. Because yeah, like Joe Rogan had on his show a while back, that one lady, and it came down like a ton of bricks on him and her, proving that 9 times out of 10, these kids are doing this body modification nonsense because all the teachers, you know, it's a kid that doesn't know where they are and doesn't, you know, is very, very confused. And the teacher, they want to get this adoration, so they go and do this gender reassignment surgery only to wind up committing suicide a few years later. It's dreadful. And these teachers, these indoctrination, I don't even call them teachers. They're indoctrination camps and these schools for the most part.
Groomers.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. And these kids are winding up doing some awful things. Thanks an awful lot. Now, there are some good teachers out there, but yeah, I don't know many of them.
I got one from the Fountain app from Stratoghost. Stratoghost. Thanks for the land buying advice. I'm looking at Craigslist. So that's good.
Yeah, so one of the things you can do for those that are new here, we've done it before. It ain't that hard to do. You can go to Craigslist. If you're looking for land, I was talking to Eric Keys.
Well, hold on. Before you go into all that, that's episode 3, how to buy land.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, because there's things I didn't put in there also. We bought land a number of different ways for very little money down. I'm talking like $500 down, handshake deals. I showed you how to do it in that episode. In fact, I'll probably do an update. And there's also some clever ways in which you can buy that land, whether it's tax liens, tax deeds. It's a little more difficult, but there is land out there. It may not be ideal, but that's exactly the land we had to buy. I mean, we couldn't afford good land, you know? And no, we never bought good land. Name one time we ever bought land that was ever good.
Not
once. We had people stealing compost from that place one time.
I forgot about that until you brought it up. Yeah, I remember.
We bought that piece of land and they were stealing compost from it.
Well, Ben the Ridge Ranger, he has property for sale in Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
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 That was linked on one of the past episodes. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, so there is land to be had out there, y'all. You're just going to have to work harder. And I know hard work is something a lot of folks don't want to hear these days, but hey, you're members of the Pimp Cast, so I know you don't mind getting your hands dirty. All right, we got one from Randy. Hello, Billy. Hope your family are doing well. He's asking, how do you deal with fire ants in the compost pile? All right, Randy. Look, I'm going to tell you straight. When we were doing this, we don't deal with fire ants up here in the mountains. That's just not any concern here. But back in Texas, oh, my goodness, it didn't take us long to figure that out. Basically, you find ways to work with them.
It wasn't an issue when the chickens were involved, though.
I don't know.
They never got in the compost.
I don't remember those. Yeah, that's true. I don't know that the... Yeah, and I don't think also, they ever got in the compost.
Yeah,
that's true.
Also, in Australia, where they have a whole different breed of ants, all of them like actively try to kill you. It's crazy. Even the small, tiny ones. They never had access to the compost because the chickens were there as well.
I once heard the funnel web spider kill a man just by looking at him.
Look, I felt like dying when I got stung by that one ant. And Jeff like didn't even... I told Jeff, I was like, hey, I just got stung by this bullet ant. And he's like, yeah, we could find something for it. And I was like... Okay, so I guess we're not, because we're busy picking up Azolla from the pond for the
was
compost.
It pretty bad?
Yeah, it was bad. It felt like there was a dull like nail shoved through the palm of my hand.
Yes. Did y'all do anything about it?
Not a thing. Like, he's really just like, yeah, you just got to wade this one out.
Suck it up, kid. Wow.
Your turn or my turn?
I guess it's you.
Okay, I got one from Floydian Slips. Floydian Slips is an homage to Pink Floyd. This is his comment. I was asking about it last episode, I think. I hear you guys pimping the freeze dryers. Do you use one? If so, can you briefly talk about what you use it for?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we definitely use that freeze dryer. It's been something of a game changer, and I want to give a hat tip also to Ben and Denise at Renewed Homestead, because I had thought about it over the years, and it was in a conversation with Denise one time, and maybe Ben as well, where they were like, man, how much of our harvest are we wasting because we can't put it away in time?
That's what I was going to say, is it has basically eliminated like harvest waste.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you just ain't got the time, well, there's one thing right there. That's one thing we use it for.
Yeah.
But also, I got to be honest, y'all, you could take food and put it back and dehydrate it. Okay. You can live on that. But I'm telling you what, freeze dried is light years better.
Yeah.
A, what you're able to put back, and B, the flavor. Plus, you keep all most of the nutrition in there when you do freeze dry it. So when we have big meals, I mean, meals that we eat a lot of, or Michelle makes a lot of, we end up taking a lot of that and putting it back. Also, food preparation. Like, let's say, like right now, I know we're in a weird position that a lot of folks can't necessarily relate to, where we got meat coming out of our ears and we don't even have places to put it. And so I was on a full-fledged good night, man. I was sitting there cooking ground beef left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Ground pork left and
right. Freeze-drying that.
Yeah.
But you can start an instant business with it. You could start doing, like, freeze-dried, like, bags of food, like, prep or, like, hiking food or preparedness food, or even just, like, fun stuff like freeze-dried candy. I mean, there's, like, you can do an instant business with it if you wanted to.
I got to say, it's one of the best tools. Now, it's not cheap, but to me, it was worth every single dime. I mean, you make dog treats with that thing.
Yep.
I can't even begin to tell you how much of an awesome investment that turned out to be, because that thing, for the longest time, had been running day and night.
We have the best comfrey salve on earth because of it.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you pointed that out, because instead of doing it where you dehydrate the things, the comfrey, we freeze dry it, the leaves. And that's why our salve is exceptional, because we don't lose anything through that drying process. So, yeah, we freeze dry it. It's quite a process.
All the water-soluble stuff stays in the food for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one beautiful thing. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, bro. I mean, yeah, we don't talk about anything we don't actively use. There are lots of, I mean, you know about it. I mean, all the time we're getting offers left and right, offering to pay a lot of money to advertise certain things. If I don't use it, I don't care what you're offering me. If I don't use it and I don't think it's great, I'm not going to talk about it on here. I mean, I may give you a shout out from time to time or say to somebody it's available, but if I don't use it, I use Hickory Ridge soap every day.
Yep.
I got EMP Shield on everything we own. I reached out to them to get a deal going. Harvest Right freeze dryers. They didn't ask me. I went out to there. And then as soon as I knew this thing worked right, man, we were all over it.
Mm-hmm.
We got other deals with other folks, and they just kind of flaked out and went away. I mean,
yeah.
Like solar oven and stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what happened there. So
yeah, that was odd.
Yeah, it was really odd. But yeah, that thing is definitely a fantastic tool. Now, it is not cheap, but it's one of the best. I mean, that I've had cars. I have cars that ain't worth what that thing is.
Yep.
I think it was 3 G's, man. And yeah, we have cars out there that ain't worth that thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, I wouldn't trade it for anything at this point. Yeah, we got one from Alan. It's rather lengthy. Yeah, he's kind of disappointed about some of the music that we're no longer playing anymore. And he says, yeah, he's digging the fact that, you know, I feel bad about the Garden of Eden chips, like I was talking about how they're putting half in the bag now. And it's just burning me up. So that's something else we're going to have to learn how to make, because I ain't paying that kind of money for it anymore. And just some really awesome stuff. And he was talking about the three branches of government, that it came from Isaiah 33. I'm going to have to check that out because I did not know that. And he says also something, some advice that Eric Sider has often told me. And he says, don't wear yourself thin. Frankly, I've been putting on weight because I still haven't kicked off that 75 hard. Eating a bunch of things I shouldn't, but as far as wearing myself thin, we are burning the candle at both ends, and we have been for a very long time. So
hold on, I'm on the 75 hard, and I'm about to eat a pint of ice cream tonight. Oh. That's part of my diet.
How's that part of your diet?
My diet is to eat 250 grams of protein every day.
In ice cream?
Hey, there's protein. There's actually 13 grams of protein in a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's, which that's seems a, shockingly that low.
That is a weird diet you're on, nephew. Hey,
that's it. Atwood Survival. The information laid down in the Pimp Cast is something everyone should look into. Thanks, guys, for putting it out there. I might have otherwise missed it. This was in reference to the Vaccine Police episode with Christopher Key.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That dude, I mean, like I said, that was another thing. I wasn't, you know, I could get affiliate deals with some of this stuff, but when it comes to matters of health and stuff, I've already made up in my mind. I don't think I'm ever going to, I'm never going to say never. But I want you to know how serious I am, whether or not this stuff works for me. So
yep.
I'm pretty happy with it. And you've also been using it too. Or you have you been
the deer antler stuff?
Yeah. Are you still
using it? Yeah, I'm still using it. Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, I've been kind of slacking off here lately. And also that cardio miracle. I should have been taking another thing tonight. I got to get back in the saddle, y'all. All right, so we've got a gentleman here. I think it's Don. Yeah, Don. I'm looking for some comfrey root or plants. Do you know when you're going to have more in stock? I don't mind paying for them now if it won't be too long. Well, do you want to say, or are we hoping like hopefully tomorrow night?
Yeah. Yep.
So in a we're hoping to have, I mean, this weather is, well, why don't you tell them?
Well, it's the comfrey root is growing a lot faster, a lot sooner, which is good. And it won't be detrimental to us if we harvest it now and then we get a late freeze later, because comfrey is just so doggone resilient. So if it goes like, I mean, yeah, it's growing. It's doing well. I think, yeah, by tomorrow night, we should have it. We should have it up on the website.
Yeah, so we should have comfrey back in stock. I know a lot of people were asking about that, and you were wondering, hey, we were telling you at the end of March, but really, this weather... I mean, like somebody asked in here, and I'll get to that in a minute. I think they were asking when we plant sweet potatoes. Well, that may all change based on this. I mean, because we're seeing stuff going on right now. We are in February. Every single day I'm out here in a t-shirt, and it's not supposed to be that way.
Right. I was sweating the other day outside.
Yeah, I was sweating this morning when I was out there taking down that fence.
Yeah.
I was about to come out of those duds. I'm like, I started off with a sweatshirt, and I'm like, okay, I'm out. I can't just take it off. I mean, I got my arms full. But yeah, it's crazy and some weird, and I know what's going to happen. And you can see it from a mile off. I mean, everything's going to be budding. Everything's going to be ready to rock and roll. And then we're going to get another hard freeze, and you can see it coming. And based on what we've said before, I have a hard time, especially these days, to believe any of this stuff is, you know, not contrived or controlled for that matter. Can't read it all, but we got one from David here, and he was talking about in regards to the Mount Graham episode, you referenced Lucifer's bastard children at Sheol, but you didn't use the Lord's most holy name or his sons. I'm not quite sure where you were going with a lot of this. You might want to write back and explain a little bit more what you're meaning on some of this stuff. Anyway, yeah, no, I make no bones about the fact that I am a blood-bought soldier of Christ, and so is he.
Yep.
So not sure where you were going with that one, but yeah, kind of give me a little bit of guidance on where you were going with it.
Well, I got one that makes sense, or did you want to go again?
No, go ahead.
I got one from B. Lynn. Ison's Nursery, that's I-S-O-N apostrophe S, Nursery in Georgia, has a decent selection at a good price. Love the show.
Well, thank you so much. There's going to be one coming up this weekend, man.
It's, oh, crap, that is this weekend.
Yeah, so I'm working that out to get your mom to go there. I told Ben. Well, anyway, that is, what's it called?
Plants for Everyone.
Yeah, Plants for Everyone. That's going to be in Asheville, and they do sell bare root. And I think that's going to be Saturday and Sunday. You're just going to have to go to their website. I don't have the information handy, but they do sell some really, really affordable stuff out there. Yeah. And it worked out pretty well for us last year. The only downside was we put in a wish list and an order beforehand, but there was a fair amount of it that they just simply didn't have.
Hey, go there, buy some trees, and then you'll immediately realize you've been getting screwed on potted trees, on potted plants.
Absolutely robbed.
Yep.
But you could be looking at it to a certain extent as something of a business idea for you out there.
Absolutely.
All right, so I got one from Matthew here. He says, I'm wondering when you start your sweet potato slips, okay? Ordinarily, that's going to be April or May, but it might be in March.
Yeah, it might be, especially in the high tunnel.
Yeah, he says he's having trouble with figuring out when to start the slips.
Well, I can help you with that. And that might, if you download this app, Gardenate, that's Garden A-T-E, it's all one word. If you download that is going to like take out the general planting seasons, the timing, all that stuff. So you type in your zone. I think it's like $1.99 or 99 cents. It's definitely worth it. You type in your zone. And depending on the time of season or anything like that, it'll tell you what needs to be sown or what needs to be like put in like as starts or like what's ready to harvest, stuff like that. So Gardenate, download that app.
Well, the downside to some of this stuff is, man, I think so many people, and this is exactly the rope-a-dope I'm expecting, where everybody has certain times they expect to do certain things. And this weather being so, and like I said, y'all, you can call me a conspiracy nut all you want. I ain't believing for a minute that all this stuff isn't contrived and controlled to a fair extent. I think everything's going to be out here ready to rock and roll. Another hard freeze comes through, and then what happens? You get nothing.
Yep.
You're going to get absolutely nothing unless you've taken certain precautions. And at the end of the day, y'all, this is why we always say stay alert, stay alive, because this is exactly how it goes down. Do you have any more, son?
Yep, I got another one from Strider47, and you're going to have to sing again. As long as Billy ain't reading my tips with the Lucifer telescope, we good. And then hashtag,
man, it's at the top, Dad.
So I can't possibly tip a pimp.
There you go.
Son, that writing, I don't even know how you read it, man. You need the Hubble Space Telescope to even zoom in on some of that writing. Dad, I'm sitting there glasses, squinting like Dad. I'm squints, man, on the Sandlot. I mean, dude, I don't know what to tell you on that. Well, y'all, hopefully this stuff has been a blessing to you. Look, remember, don't mess around with any unnecessary complexity. Just stay alert.
Stay alive.
Like a Viking, your politicians are saviors reciting. Why are you looking around so surprising? When it goes to hate, don't want to get into that language. Going right to left like a manga, then left to right, they in anguish. My fur lies a little different. Yours don't make me better than you, though. Cause it took me time to see the truth, to see the end game like a Russo. But that don't mean a back fingers when we come together and